with voting day here in Wisconsin tomorrow. People are going to the polls, casting those votes, and now we're going to walk you through what you need to know to have a smooth experience at the polls tomorrow. And we'll take your questions. We've got Mr. Elections with us today to answer them. You can call in now with your Election Day questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Kevin Kennedy joins us. He's the Director and General Counsel for the Government Accountability Board, I guess otherwise known as Mr. Elections. Kevin, welcome to Central Time.
Good afternoon. Thanks. That's a new nickname for me.
Well, after a bit of a scramble about a month and a half ago when the state's voting law seesawed, how is the election shaping up right now as you see it?
Well, you know, we've got a very engaged electorate, and hopefully we can pass along some last-minute reminders today. But, you know, this is a very good a lot of attention being paid to an election at this time. You know, we expect a good turnout.
It can seem pretty straightforward. You show up at the polls, you cast your vote, but sometimes there are things that confuse people. They may not be registered. What is the number one thing that you want people to know going to the polls tomorrow?
Well, I think that's the number one thing is where to vote and whether you're currently registered, because that's what we have, almost 2,800 polling places. If you're in a small town, you probably know exactly where that is, but if you're in Madison, Milwaukee, or Green Bay, the one that's closest to you might not be your polling place. So we encourage people to go to our website, myvote.wi.gov. You can enter your name and your date of birth. It will tell you your registration status, and it will tell you your current voting location. It may tell you that you're registered to vote at some place where you used to live and just hadn't registered since then. So you want to be prepared on Election Day, because our number three item is that you can register to vote at the polls on Election Day.
Okay, so how does that work? You show up, you want to vote, but you're not registered yet. What happens?
If you're not registered or your registration's not current because you've moved or changed your name, you need to bring what we call an identifying document called proof of residence. It can be your the important thing is it has to be current, and it has to have your full name and your current address on it. A driver's license works, but oftentimes people's driver's license hasn't been updated to reflect their most current residence. So often people will use utility bills, bank statements, or other financial institution. Students can bring a student registration form, but they also have to have a proof of enrollment document at the same time. A lease works, property tax bill, just about any government-issued document will also work. What doesn't work are health care bills. This is a good example, but utility bills is really the big thing, or property tax bills, if you don't have a current driver's license.
Okay, well, let's get our callers in on this right away. Thomas is with us in Madison. Hi, Thomas.
Hello. I recently moved, and I registered to vote at my address, but not within the 28-day window I've been hearing a lot about. But I've been at this residence for more than 28 days, is bringing that proof of, like you just talked about, is that enough at this address, even though I haven't registered at that address within that 28-day window?
If you haven't registered within the 28-day window, but you've lived there for more than 28 days, you need to re-register when you go to vote. So you bring that proof of residence document with you at the polls, because your name is probably showing up on a list at a different polling place because you haven't changed your registration.
Yeah. All right. That answers my question completely.
Great. Well, happy voting, Thomas, and thank you for calling. And in terms of just updating information, not registering, strictly speaking, that's something I take it you can do as well when you show up to vote.
That's right. In fact, most of the registrations we get on Election Day are people who are already registered. They just haven't updated it to reflect their current address, or in many cases, their name has changed.
And let's go to another caller now. Angie is with us in Lancaster, and you can join us at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have heading into Election Day tomorrow? Angie, hi.
Hi. Can you hear me all right?
Yep. What's your question?
Right. So I have an emergency that means that I have to leave town, and I have to go on the other side of the state. The first thing I thought of was, of course, this election, I need to go and try to get my vote counted. So I went to my clerk's office in Enix, that's where I'm from, and I told her what the situation was, and they said that there was absolutely nothing I could do, that I wanted an absentee ballot, that I would have had to ask for that last week, or I could have voted in person, by 5 o'clock on Friday. I said, but this is an emergency situation. I have to leave. And they said, there's nothing that they could do. Is that in fact true? Was there something that she could have given me, like a provisional ballot or something?
And Angie, I take it you couldn't get up early tomorrow and vote as soon as the polls open. You're going to be gone all day.
I am going to be 200 miles away from my polling station.
Gotcha. Okay, well, let's see what Kevin has to say. What do you think?
Unfortunately, the municipal clerk is right. The legislature doesn't permit absentee voting after the Friday before the election or requesting a ballot by mail after the Thursday before the election. The only people who the legislature has accommodated are people who are actually hospitalized. If you're hospitalized within 7 days of the election, you can appoint an agent to come pick up the ballot from the municipal clerk, take it to your hospital room, vote it, and return it. But they have not allowed for any other type of emergency voting, and it does catch people by surprise. We've had people who get last-minute orders to deploy for military, and they are often out of luck as well.
Okay, well, sorry about that, Angie, but thank you for calling. Appreciate that. And we'll take another call. Tom joins us next in Minocqua. Hi, Tom.
Yes, there are sufficient polling places in Milwaukee because around the country, sometimes people have to wait 9 or 10 hours to vote.
Milwaukee's in pretty good shape. They have about 200 polling places to serve their voters. They'll probably have a couple hundred thousand people voting. A number of those polling places, they'll have two or three wards. There's 314 separate wards in Milwaukee, but some of them double up or triple up. But they generally have a good supply of polling places. The only time you're going to run into lines really are going to be at the beginning of the day. You show up when the polls open. You can expect to wait in line. Not unusual to wait sometimes over the noon hour and also right after people get off the day shift. So between 4 and 7 o'clock at night, you can expect lines.
All right. Well, thank you, Tom, for that question. Kevin, do all polling places keep the same hours in Wisconsin?
They do. We used to have a hodgepodge of hours for our smaller municipalities, but every polling place opens at 7 in the morning, closes at 8 at night. If you are at the polls by 8 and you're in line, you're entitled to vote. So if there is a line at 8 o'clock at night, and don't be surprised if there is because people do wait to the last minute, as long as you're in line, you'll be allowed to vote. Usually we have a poll worker or a law enforcement official who stands at the end of the line, so the people who show up at 8:01 or 8:02 are politely told, sorry, you needed to be here just a little bit sooner.
Hmm. What are we expecting as far as turnout goes?
You know, this is, we always think 50% turnout is a good turnout for a gubernatorial election, and we certainly hit that in 2000, and we hit that in, I'm sorry, 2010, and we went well over that for the 2012 recall election. We're looking at recall numbers again this time. What drives turnout is when people think their vote's going to make a difference. So when you see a close election at the top of the ticket races, you can expect that we're going to easily see a turnout over 50%. We're predicting 56.5%, which is 2.5 million voters out of our voting age population of just under 4.3 million. I'm sorry, 4.4 million.
And let's take another call here from Jack in Kaukauna. Jack, you're on the air. Hi.
Hello. I was wondering if you could explain how the referendum question on the transportation is worded. It sounds like it may be somewhat confusing.
It may be confusing, and the best thing that I suggest is at every polling place, we have an explanatory statement that's posted. It's also printed in the papers today, and you can find it online on our website at gab.wi.gov. And that's probably the best way because the law requires an explanatory statement that's actually developed by the Attorney General that tells you if you vote yes, this is what it means. If you vote no, this is what it means. And I would rather that you look at that than have me do it off the cuff.
Gotcha. Well, thank you, Jack, for calling and bringing that up. And you can join our conversation with your questions about voting tomorrow at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Tim on Facebook says, the fill-in-the-arrow style ballot is very confusing. Why was the style chosen over the simple fill-in-the-bubble style?
Well, when we first went to an optical scan ballot, the manufacturer who uses that felt that that was actually a very user-friendly style because the arrow, once you completed it, pointed to the name of the candidate of your choice. And there's a lot of discussion between usability experts, which is better. The important thing is that the oval or the arrow is right next to the person's name. That's one of the things we try to focus on that. It's proprietary for the particular vendor that makes that voting equipment, and you know, we will pass that on to see what they have to say. But I know that was the first style that we had in Wisconsin for our optical scan ballots.
And do you have to make sure that you fill in that arrow good and thick, or will a single line do it?
A single line should do it. The important thing is to connect the head and the tail of the arrow on that, because that is the older type of voting equipment, so you want to make sure that you have completed the arrow.
We're talking about Voting 101 today, what you need to know to have a smooth trip to the polls tomorrow. Kevin Kennedy is with us. He's Executive Director and General Counsel for the Government Accountability Board. We're talking Voting 101 right now and what you need to know to have a smooth trip to the polls tomorrow. Kevin Kennedy joins us now. He's the Director and General Counsel for the Government Accountability Board.
And you can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Go back to the phone lines right now. Bob joins us from Hayward. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
My 18-year-old son lives in, goes to college up at UMD, but his... I think legal address is still back here in Hayward. Where is he supposed to vote?
Okay. Kevin.
Most likely back in Hayward, but, you know, you get to make that choice as a college student. If you've met the residency requirements in Minnesota, you can vote there, but you have to. You can only vote in one place, so you'd have to cancel your registration in Wisconsin. Now, at 18, he probably may not be registered yet.
He would have to research the voting, the residency requirements in Minnesota before he could make this call.
Right. Well, and in Minnesota, it's not quite the 28-day residency as it is in Wisconsin. It's a little bit less. But he has to make the choice. Obviously, if he wants to vote in Wisconsin, he's going to have to get back to Hayward. Is that what Bob said?
Hayward.
Hayward
to
cast his vote tomorrow.
Okay, well, good luck with that. Hope that works out. And let's go next to Jeff in Arborvita. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my call. Similar question, Kevin. My son, he goes to school at NTC in Wausau, technical school down there, but he rooms at Marathon Hall. Yeah, at the dorms there. And so I just heard you say something about they're going to need to bring a proof of enrollment. From the school that they're currently attending?
That's right.
So would he need to bring something from NCC as well as residency at Marathon Hall?
Well, NCC should have something that he can print off their website called a proof of enrollment. What he needs to do is, you know, a student ID card, as long as it shows his address, is going to be good, and the proof of enrollment.
So he needs to bring both those items with
that's
him.
Right.
Does that answer your question, Jeff?
That does help. That answers my question. Thank you very much.
Great.
For taking my call.
Great. Thanks a lot, Jeff. And let's go next to Daniel in Rice Lake. Hi, Daniel.
Hello. I live in an RV. I have no legal residence. Have I been disenfranchised? Can I vote?
Okay. Thank you.
Well, one of the questions is most people who live in RVs have established a residence for voting purposes. It's usually the last place that they owned a home, and they can continue to vote from there. A lot of times, you know, there'll be a mail delivery that they'll rely on. Each case is very, very unique. You know, sometimes RV voters, you know, we don't have what we call pass-through voting, just because you happen to be in Wisconsin on election day, but you know, live on the road and you're coming from North Carolina, it doesn't entitle you to vote. So you have to have a physical connection to Wisconsin. It can be one that, you know, you have left behind because you've become mobile. And we have a number of what we call snowbirds who, you know, are living in Florida, but they continue to vote from their last Wisconsin residence. Also people who do travel, but they have to have established that physical location. So I don't know what you have done, and that would be important if you've voted prior in Wisconsin and then switched to your RV lifestyle, you can use your prior address for voting. The question really will be, you know, did you register to vote from that address? Because it'll be difficult to establish a registration if you don't have any documents linking you to that address.
Okay, well, thank you for that call, Daniel. And I take it something like a car title wouldn't work because it doesn't tie you to an address.
Actually, a car title would work if it does have an address, but
it
you're right.
It does have an address.
The vehicle registrations often have that, and that is a government document. So if the vehicle registration has your full name and current address, it will work.
Okay, well, good luck to you, Daniel. And, Kevin, observers are something that voters may encounter tomorrow at the polls. Could you tell us a little bit about the role that observers play and what kind of behavior is and isn't acceptable?
Well, observers play a very, very important role. I mean, in the United States and Wisconsin in particular, we want our elections to be transparent. We want the public to be able to see what's going on. And any member of the public, and they don't even have to be a Wisconsin resident, can be present at the polls to observe except a candidate whose name is on the ballot. So candidates aren't allowed to be present during the time the polls are open. And their role is, as an observer, is just that, to watch what's going on. They get to see and hear the public aspects of the process. They're not entitled to handle any of the election materials. They don't get to look at people's proof of residence documents. And it's really there to watch the process. If they see a problem, they should bring it to the attention of the poll workers. They can't interact with the voters. It's possible an observer might be asked by someone to help them mark their ballots. Usually it's because they know the person or they trust the observer. But generally, they're just there to watch, make notes. In most cases, our political parties or our candidates have observers there because they're listening as people state their names and keeping track because they've got a list of people they know support their candidates. And if they haven't shown up by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, that list is going to be sent to party headquarters, and people are going to start making phone calls saying, did you forget to vote? Did you have a problem? And remind them. And that's a time-honored practice that's been going on for years.
Okay, let's take a call here from Pat in La Crosse. Hi, Pat.
Hi. I'm a poll worker in La Crosse, and I'm wondering if Mr. Kennedy would please mention that if you are coming and you have to register to vote, that you do need to bring your driver's license number and expiration date, even if it's not current and valid, that there is a difference between proof of residence and photo ID.
That's a very good point. First of all, thank you for being a poll worker. We don't have enough people like you. But when you do register to vote on election day, when you fill out the form, if you have a Wisconsin driver's license or a state-issued ID, you are required to put the number on the form. So even if it is expired, you should write that number on the form. It's part of what we use to keep the poll list current. We match that when we in our statewide voter registration system. It helps us track people who pass away, who move from jurisdiction to jurisdiction, and even people who may be convicted of felonies. That's very helpful for us. So that's a very good point. If you are planning to register to vote on Election Day and you have a Wisconsin driver's license, even if the address isn't current on it, you need to write the number down on your list, or on the form.
Great. Well, thank you so much for calling, Pat. And you know, what if someone wants to join Pat, or probably not in time for tomorrow, but for the next election, and try their hand at being a poll worker? How do they do that?
The best way to do that is to call your municipal clerk. Our political parties do make nominations for people to serve at the polls, but the reality is that they really don't recruit enough people to serve at the polls. In an ideal situation, the Democrats and Republicans would submit lists of names to each municipal clerk, and you'd have a balance of Democrats and Republicans at the polling place. But in most cases, they just don't make those nominations, and so the clerk is out there recruiting themselves. If you're free tomorrow, I'd encourage you to call anyway, because particularly in your larger municipalities, they're always looking for that. One of our biggest problems in Milwaukee is that people volunteer to be poll workers, and you do get paid, and then they don't show up.
Okay, so even at this late hour, possibly, huh?
That's right.
All right, well, thank you so much for calling, Pat. Another call here from Josh in La Crosse. Hi, Josh.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I was in the military a long time, and I was an absentee voter while I was at my home of record in Washington State. And so I'm still registered there, but I've lived in Wisconsin for a year now since I've been out. And I have a driver's license and everything. I want to register tomorrow at the poll, and I want to make sure I'm not, you know, thrown out because I'm double registered or anything like that.
As long as you don't vote in Washington, you are good. When you fill out your registration form at the polls tomorrow, put down your old Washington address as your old one, and we will send a notice to the state of Washington saying this person's now a registered voter in Wisconsin. That'll take you off the list in Washington.
Gotcha. Hope that helps, Josh. Good luck to you tomorrow. And as we wrap up here, Kevin, social media, as we all know, is huge these days. Let's say you want to snap a picture of your ballot, pat yourself on the back for voting, and then post it on Facebook. Can you do that?
Well, you can do it, but it's against the law. So,
you cannot do that.
We would strongly discourage. If you want to take a picture about your voting experience, stand outside the polling place where it says, you know, with the name of the polling place on it, or the sign that says polling place or vote here. That's just as good. I've done that before when my father and daughter were working as poll workers. We posed in front of that sign.
And should people bring their kids to vote?
It's not a bad idea to bring your kids along. They won't be able to cast the vote, but they get to see the process. It's really a question of if that's what gets you free to the polls, so you don't have to arrange for daycare, please do that. I think it really helps youngsters to get a feel that this is, part of our civil process, and we really want them to grow up to be engaged, active voters as well.
Kevin, thank you so much for joining us.
You're very welcome, Veronica.
Kevin Kennedy is the Executive Director and General Counsel for the Government Accountability Board.